From battery issues to flat tires to keys locked in your car, AAA's affordable roadside assistance is there for you 24/7, 365. Join now at AAA.com/member. Roadside assistance is provided by independent facilities contracted by AAA. Coverage in taxis, limousines, and other ride-sharing conveyances is excluded. Offers, terms, conditions, and policies are subject to change without notice. Visit AAA.com/member for details. Savings partners subject to change. From battery issues to flat tires to keys locked in your car, AAA's affordable roadside assistance is there for you 24/7, 365. Join now at AAA.com/member. Roadside assistance is provided by independent facilities contracted by AAA. Coverage in taxis, limousines, and other ride-sharing conveyances is excluded. Offers, terms, conditions, and policies are subject to change without notice. Visit AAA.com/member for details. Savings partners subject to change.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Sims receives at the 5. There goes everybody. Across the 25. And what does it mean? 1 yard more than we would have gotten. But 1 yard where you hold your breath.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Let's talk about how things are different with your new head coach, Jackson Smith and Jigbo.
I mean, things are totally different, you know.
Today's guests, NFL Network reporter Steve Wyche, host and comedian Chris Redd, Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Live from a hotel room near the Canton Airport, this is the Rich Eisen Show. How's that for an open?
I love it. I think it's great.
Hey, everybody. Perfect. Greetings from the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's Hall of Fame weekend. The Hall of Fame game went down last night, or at least a large portion of it went down last night before the weather gods decided to tell the football gods to take a seat. I am Rich Eisen, thrilled to be here once again for an induction weekend and enshrinement ceremony. And we're here all 3 hours, me here and the guys back in the Los Angeles studio. And you where you are, taking it in either on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, TuneIn, our podcast listeners. We say hello to all of you out there who take in all 3 hours, hopefully, of this pod, wherever you get those. And also we say hello to anybody out there who will be watching us on the Roku channel once we're done, because we re-air all the way through to the rest of your August sports month, which is up and running with the Olympics, baseball, and obviously what's going on in the National Football League. Three guests today, Steve Wyche, my colleague with whom I'll be spending all of induction Saturday live on NFL Network. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes time. He's in downtown Canton, where all of the returning Hall of Famers are hanging out, getting ready to welcome in some new immortals into the bust gallery here in the downtown Canton district. Also, we say hello to Chris Redd, the very funny comedian who's got a lot of good times to talk about with you on this program, as well as Jerry Dulac, one of our favorites who covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Want to know what's going on with that quarterback situation? Want to know what's going on and everything else in their neighborhood that's happening in hour number three on this What's More Likely Friday. Good to see you in Los Angeles there, Chris Brockman. How
Rich,
are you, sir?
Man,
good to see
how you. Was the travels, man? How's Ohio? Good to see you.
Oh, yeah, I'm here safely. So that's all you need to know about my travels. I'm wearing a Pro Football Hall of Fame T-shirt. I know
love
you
it.
Like
I love that shirt. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, it's the old school sort of, helmeted dude. That was that used to be the logo of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What's up, Mike Del Tufo? How are you? What's
going
on?
I'm doing well. How's Canton?
Are you watching the Olympics? You watching the Olympics while we're talking?
I got some beach volleyball right now.
Oh my God, that's amazing! You actually can have a conversation.
And Brazil's playing, so you got
also Del Tufo. Oh my God, Friday, Mike. When was the last Friday you were here?
Oh
yeah.
Oh, it's a long time.
Months, right?
Yeah. But I'm back.
What's up, TJ? How are you, TJ Jefferson? Good to see you.
TJ, turn your mic on.
Mike.
Oh, I was just on a second ago. Mike, how you doing, Rich?
I'm doing all right. Light that candle, please. TJ's in his spot. Everybody's in their spots. Listen.
Yeah, we're cooking, man. We're cooking.
We are. So this happened, what, literally 5 minutes after we went off the air on Thursday's show, where, you know, we talked about the Los Angeles Chargers with Daniel Jeremiah in the first hour of the program. And obviously, how high I am on the Chargers and Jim Harbaugh's ability to plus them up. I keep using that phrase That's the phrase that you use when a coach comes in and they wind up having more wins than the previous year. Last time Jim came in to the NFL, he plussed the Niners up 7 wins from 5, just like the Chargers had last year, all the way to 12. And then they went on an incredible playoff run that wound up having them in the Super Bowl in one of the years that Jim was there. And so I feel the same way that the Chargers can do it. You know, if Justin Herbert's healthy.
By the way,
I didn't know that that would be an if in any way, shape, or form. But as soon as we went off the air, news filtered out from across the street of our studios there in El Segundo, California, that Herbert had an injured foot, the dreaded plantar fascia injury that followed Wednesday's practice, in which, by the way, Justin Herbert, in 11-on-11, ran one into the end zone and celebrated with his teammates. It didn't look like he pulled up. There was no hitch in anybody's giddy up. Anybody that was witnessing practice had no idea anything like this had happened. And so suddenly what was a mirthful press conference moment from the other day, when Jim Harbaugh laid out how he would be handling injuries whenever he was at the podium. In case you need a fresh reminder, this is what he had to say earlier this week.
So for clarity, whenever I'm asked about anybody's medical condition other than my own, the following will be my best effort to relay information. I am not medically qualified to categorize or speculate as to how someone else is feeling. The best I can do is say that someone is working through something. Two, I get the report from those who are qualified and then follow the instructions. Three, if at times I look or sound like I am not a medical expert in the field of medicine, guilty as charged.
All facts.
So it should come as no surprise that when this was announced on Thursday, Jim was asked if Herbert had hurt himself on that play I was referring to, that 11-on-11 period where he ran into the end zone for a score. And he was also asked if Herbert had been dealing with foot pain prior to Wednesday. Harbaugh's response was that he was, quote unquote, not qualified to know that information.
Okay.
So, cue what Jim had to say about what Herbert's up to.
You know, just like I said, full steam ahead. You know, the preparation, you know, the work continues. You know, he's not on the field in the practice, but, you know, meeting room, still in the training environment, you know, that chemistry, that rapport that you build with those position players, his teammates, you know, that continues.
I mean, he's going to be in a walking boot for 2 weeks, and then he's going to be, I want to get this verbiage appropriate because this is what scares me the most. He will be on a quote unquote gradual return to play protocol. And as of August 1st, the day that this came out, he was expected to be playing in the first week of the NFL season still. 5 weeks to go. Listen.
Yikes.
It feels like Justin Herbert's in 2024 in the Joe Burrow 2023 position, which is lower leg injury that was suffered in training camp. You won't see him the rest of training camp. You won't see him on the field for any of preseason at all. And then in week one, every single moment that this guy takes a snap and he's rolling to his right and he's rolling to his left, we are just going to be eyes on his foot. And hopefully the eyes won't roll in the back of the head of all Charger fans. Because I'll tell you what, Jim didn't leave Michigan to go coach Easton Stick.
And yet
I'm not lying. I'm just spitting truth from my hotel room here. Okay.
You're not lying. Rich, good one thinking about this in the Burrow aspect of last season. Burrow, I think a little scarier, right? Calf, so close to that Achilles. One could definitely lead to the other. We've seen it before. We saw it with Rodgers last year. Bottom of the foot, but this is something that is just gonna nag, and I think kind of it's going to be there. It's going to loom for a large part of this year, I feel like. And
well, I mean, I'm sure there's
good news.
Orthotics. I mean, all sorts of therapy, rest,
but still,
you know, immobilization and all of that stuff. But you know, when week one, you're trying to avoid Max Crosby,
right?
You know, or Christian Wilkins against the Raiders. You know, that's when you know all that rest and relaxation might suddenly get aggravated. Now, listen, I'm also not qualified. I'm another Michigan man, not qualified. I mean, I've had plantar issues. We've had conversations about this on the air. Del Tufo says to roll your foot on top of a softball or whatever that
one
is.
Underneath his desk, I got one right now. I'm doing it. I do it all show. It's great. Here's the baseball. You literally just rub your feet on it, and it feels good. Alleviates the pain.
Let me ask you this question.
Baseball.
I could bring one over to practice.
Mike and Chris, just, you know, I think this is asked and answered. Have either of you played quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers and have the entire franchise's hopes placed in whether your foot being rolled back and forth on this this ball works or not?
Can I answer this, Chris?
Listen, listen, let's hope he's fine.
Yes.
Let's hope he's fine. Obviously. Let's hope that what we're supposing is not the issue whatsoever, that he will be fine. This is a guy that's played with cracked ribs, for crying out loud, before.
Yeah, broke
this
a
is
finger
a tough guy.
Last year. He's had all kinds of bang, you know.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. And this is where, you know, if this is going to be a run-heavy, run-first offense, this is where this is helpful, right? But the idea that Daniel, in just literally the next segment of the show, it'll have been 24 hours since Daniel Jeremiah appeared on this program, right? And he was talking about how he watched the running attack be very inventive and how Herbert would be used in the running game. Does that now remove him from that portion of the playbook for the year?
For a good
portion of the year, for the beginning of the year?
So
it's just yet another reminder here. By the way, there was a moment in time where it looked like two Western Division teams would be without a quarterback for the time being. It appeared when Geno Smith did not show up on Wednesday during portions of training camp, and it was an reported that he had a hip and knee that was being looked at. We thought there'd be two teams that would be down starters for the time being, if not keeping an eye on to see what's going on prior to week one when Seattle welcomes in Denver to kick it all off. However, Adam Schefter, part of the media, charged today to say that Geno Smith and all of his testing did not reveal anything significant. One source told Adam, quote, he shouldn't miss any time, which is a sigh of relief to be breathed. But it's just another fresh reminder, guys, because Easton Stick is going to get a lot of time with the ones right now. And you know who's after him on the depth chart is, you want to talk about strange bedfellows and interesting bedfellows. The kid who bounced Harbaugh from the playoffs 2 years ago, Max Duggan, TCU's quarterback, is number three on the Chargers depth chart. You got to wonder if they're going to start looking for other quarterbacks to, you know, fill spots during training camp and maybe extend the depth should possibly anything be needed. But that's why you don't trade backup quarterbacks in the NFL anymore. Just a fresh reminder. Last year, there were 67 different starting quarterbacks in the National Football League, 67 of them.
Wow.
That's not a record. The record of the single season with the most different starting quarterbacks in an NFL season since 1950, that record was set the previous year in 2022, when there were 71 different starting quarterbacks. And then in 2021, the year before those two, there were 62 different starting quarterbacks in the NFL, which is tied for the fourth most of any single NFL season since 1950. So in other words, in the last 70 plus years of NFL football, the last 3 years, we have seen, in order, the second most different number of starting quarterbacks the most starting number of different starting quarterbacks and the fourth most in the history of the National Football League in the last 3 years in succession.
Man.
Wow. So I know I'm, you know, it sounds like I'm making a big deal out of this, but it's also par for the course here. And there, but for the grace of the football gods goes your team. And, you know, that's why Atlanta, who we started the show with yesterday because of Arthur Blank's commentary on why the Falcons chose Michael Penix eighth overall. That's why they still have Taylor Heineke sitting there. They got three starting quarterbacks. They got Kirk Cousins. They got Taylor Heineke. And in case, you know, Penix might not be ready, that's why they have him. And if Penix is ready, they got him. That's why you got to start taking a look at who's third on your quarterbacks, your favorite team's quarterback depth chart.
Let me look that up.
For real? Well, it's Trey Lance for you, sir, is it not?
Yeah, but who's third?
Oh, cool.
Who's
third?
The Cowboys still listed as two right now.
Yeah, I mean, they got Cooper Rush still.
Well, thank goodness, because some in our media think Joe Milton's going to take over at some point. So,
well, I mean,
have three.
That's why you need to take a look at who's third on your team's quarterback depth chart. I mean, Kyle Allen is sitting there in Pittsburgh. We're going to talk in hour number three about is it Fields or Russell Wilson, who still has a questionable designation next to his name on the depth chart. But, you know, you just take a look at it, who's third, and those guys might play. That's why, you know, with Anthony Richardson coming back, why the Colts went ahead and got Joe Flacco, because they'd already seen what they gotten from Sam Ellinger.
Well, and Gardner Minshew.
Brock Purdy was third on the depth chart, and he might be the first $60 million a year quarterback in the NFL a couple years later.
Man, that's crazy.
I mean, it's just it's an unfortunate fresh reminder of what's going on here.
Big time.
So Steve Weich is going to be joining us. He's in downtown Canton, where all of the Hall of Famers are hanging out, getting ready for their luncheon. Every single year, there's a lunch where all of the returning Hall of Famers welcome in the new class of Hall of Famers and basically haze them verbally, obviously. And so that's going down right now here on this Canton Friday. Chris Redd, very funny guy. We spoke with him earlier this week, so we'll replay that conversation in studio when he was in studio in hour number two. So don't miss that. And then we will get the latest on what's going on with the Steelers camp. It's a what's more likely Friday as well. The Giants owner, John Mara, has spoken about what we saw in Hard Knocks, that it's Daniel Jones's show, and also Saquon Barkley's gone, and he was very disappointed about that. And his latest comments on all of that still to come here on this busy Friday. We're off and running. I'm sitting here in Canton, Ohio, you where you are, but we can still connect. You know, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll chat with Steve Weich, who was there for all the door knocks back in January as well for these Hall of Famers. Rich Eisen here for Sleep Number. They say opposites attract, and that's why the Sleep Number smart bed is the best bed for couples. I can confirm exactly that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference. You can choose what's right for you whenever you like. If you like a bed that feels firm, but they want soft, Sleep Number does that. You want to sleep cooler while they like to feel warm. Sleep Number does that too. You have to feel it to believe it. Find the bed that's perfect for both of you only at a Sleep Number store. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, Sleep Number smart beds starting at $999. Price is higher in Alaska and Hawaii. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Back here on the Roku channel, radio audience will rejoin us in a matter of time. So when Geno Smith went down, many people started looking at the Seahawks step chart. Who is the backup quarterback there? It is Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Who we were introduced to in college at North Carolina, fifth round selection by Washington a few years ago. And then, of course, for those who followed his career through this program, we all know. You all know how completely obsessed we have been with his bedhead headshots. For instance, this is 2022. Look at that rookie smiling there. And then I guess he got the smile beaten out of him his rookie season. There you go. Looks like he rolled out of bed 2023. So I have yet to see his 2024 headshot. See if it's bedheady or not. Let's take a look. Here we go. Drum roll, please, or not. Here we go. 2024. There it is. All right. He's smiling again.
He's smiling again, but the hair looks very similar to the 2023 shot.
I'm just glad he's smiling. The 2023 one is just was just genuinely concerned.
Rich, what would you do?
Don, great dissolve to this bald man sitting here all shiny in his hotel room.
What would you do?
That was jarring even for me to watch that.
What would you give up to have hair like that?
Oh, my God. Just for one day?
Like one of your dogs?
Like
one of your dogs?
Here it comes.
Stop with the dissolve.
You said one of your dogs.
It's freaking me out, man. It would look like a hair system on me, though, wouldn't it?
No.
Hair system? Like
as long as
I'm not only
the
president, I'm also a client.
If you're appropriately colored, it would look totally fine. No one would know.
You think so?
No one would know. If you had the right amount of salt and pepper in there, no one would notice. Don't you fall. Look at you.
Yeah.
You stop dying.
Look at
you
that.
Stop the die.
This is what you got to do, Rich.
And like, if you had it like Del Tufo, no one would notice.
Compliments all the time.
Outstanding material. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I am sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk here for the day in Canton, Ohio, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Steve Weich will be is checking in right now from downtown Canton. We'll be chatting with him shortly about what's going on down there with all of the returning Hall of Famers. I got to tell you, I reached out to Steve Hutchinson, guys,
okay.
My Michigan man, and he is also, he's been a guy, yes, he's been a running mate. He's been a running mate post jacket dinner, him and his lovely wife, Landon, and just a whole host of other Hall of Famers. We've been hanging out, and I reached out to him to try and get some, if you will, backup for this evening's jacket dinner. Should, upon my delivery of remarks, I get the usual treatment of Buckeye fans heckling me, even though they don't have a leg to stand on. He's not here.
Oh, what? No.
This is his first Hall of Fame that he is not attending since he has been enshrined.
Oh, no.
This is my biggest fear for you,
Rich. His kid's in like some sports tournament, and they stayed home.
Oh, no.
Need a dad.
This is not good. Me and Mike, you know a guy named Pachanga up in New York who could come help you.
Yeah. No, I don't know if they can get here in time. And I might just have to personally take note of where the exits are. It's on me. And joining me right now here from Canton, Ohio, I'll be hanging out with him all day tomorrow live on NFL Network's coverage of the enshrinement ceremony. But joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show is Steve Weich. How are you, Steve?
Hey, Rich, I'm great. And not having Steve Hutchinson there with you at the Gold Jacket dinner for that little Michigan support. I mean, I know how hard they come at you here, and you have really been trumping them the past few years with the Big Blue. I love it.
Yeah, and this is the first time I've ever done it coming off of a national championship, though, Steve. So I've already told my guys, I'm coming in peace. I come in peace here, you know what I mean? So, but it's good to see you here. I saw you in the elevator lobby just a couple of hours ago. So walk me through where you are, who's there. Give people a little bit of a taste of what it's like to be where you are on a Friday before induction Saturday.
Yeah, this is great. So I'm at the hotel where all of the Hall of Famers stay here in downtown Canton, Ohio. And right now they've got a special luncheon. The Ray Nitschke luncheon was exclusive for the Hall of Famers. A lot of great messages are sent. They've got a couple meetings. They did the team photo. And then later tonight, they'll go to the Gold Jacket ceremony, which you marvelously MC every year, where they welcome the class 2024. But Rich, I mean, I got to tell you, we know there's only 377 people who've ever played, coached, or contributed to this game who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And to be here where a lot of the living members are just walking around and shooting fish in a greatness barrel, it is just the greatest thing ever. It never gets old. You understand the magnitude of the rarefied air of the Pro Football Hall of Fame just being in an environment like this. And I think it's something both you and I treasure being invited back here every year to be a part of this.
Who have you spoken to today already?
Oh, man. Well, we just spoke to Richard Dent. He'll be part of a ceremony to bring in Steve McMichael from the Bears. Tom Jackson, who's here for Randy Gradishar. They played on the Great Orange Crush defense, your old colleague. They're at the Four Letter Network. Spoke to Andre Reed, who is going to be – who talked about the only offensive player going into the class of 24, another Andre Johnson. And, of course, Tony Dungy is going to be speaking with us as well. He was the man – his first draft pick with the Colts was Dwight Freeney, who also is a member of the class of 2024. So it's been great. I've been cussed out by Charles Haley. He loves to do that every time I see him. He walks behind me. It's an annual ritual. So – you know, he had to give it to me right there, and, you know, definitely cannot go into that conversation whatsoever. But I will say this, he is not happy that Dak and CD and Micah Parsons are not signed down in Dallas.
What do you mean? What did he say?
I cannot repeat what he said, but I will try to surmise this in that they need to be there, and that he believes that the reason why they're not signed, and again, this is Charles Haley, not me, is that the owner is actually trying to save some money. You know, he sees all these other teams signing their guys, like Detroit signing everybody to these mega contracts and some of these other teams. And he believes the owner is trying to save a little money this year, is not really sure where things are going to go, but thinks that maybe he's trying to save some money so next year he can spend some money on maybe a new head coach and some other position players.
So he's not all in, is what Charles Haley has essentially told you, Steve.
Look, it's Charles's prism. It's Charles's prism. And we know that's an interesting prism. But, yeah, I mean, look, things can change. They can get deals done in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, Charles believes at the moment, for the time being, maybe he's not all in.
I got to seek out 94 tonight. Have a little chit chat with him, and maybe we should get him on NFL Network tomorrow. You know, maybe we should get him on our set.
There we go.
5 second delay, of course. Steve Weich here on the Rich Eisen Show. So, I would love for you to tell this story because you told it to me off air. Because you were there for all the door knocks. You were part of the coverage of that. And the door knocks again occur in January, where returning, you know, current Hall of Famers knock on the doors of those who are about to get the call from the Hall, and they inform them that they're going to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you said you spoke to Tony, or you're talking to Tony Dungy today. He was the one who knocked, if you will, on the door of Dwight Freeney, but he didn't knock on a door. He showed up where and who was in on all of this, Steve? And that's the way I set you up for that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, so when it comes to Dwight Freeney, the person who developed the ruse to surprise him in part was Michael Jordan. Dwight Freeney and Michael Jordan played golf together on Michael Jordan's course outside of Jupiter, Florida, at least 4 days a week. So this was like to Dwight Freeney, it was a routine golf outing with Michael Jordan. But MJ and Dwight's wife and a couple of people set it up so that Tony Dungy and our crew and Jim Porter, the president of the Hall, would be there to surprise him. The only potential tip MJ gave him was, don't come showing up in a T-shirt and gym shorts. We're taking special pictures for Grove 23, the golf course, so dress a little nicer. Otherwise, it was like a regular day, and Dwight walks in the door, and there's Tony. And the great thing about having the Hall of Famers notify, you know, the new class coming in, is it's hard for these Hall of Famers to keep it together. I mean, imagine Tony Dungy, who's had Derrick Brooks, who's had John Lynch and Rondé Barber and other people that he's coached go in, and he's still looking at his first draft choice with the Indianapolis Colts, and he's breaking the news to him. Like, it's hard for these guys to keep it together. So here's Tony on the verge of tears notifying Dwight Freeney that he's about to join the 377 who are getting memorialized forever in Canton, Ohio.
I love that, Steve. And so does that mean – Is Jordan going to be here this weekend? Is he going to be there tonight, tomorrow? What's, do you know?
I think there's a good chance. I think there's a chance that Jordan could be here. I don't know. I don't know what MJ's schedule is, but sure. I'm hearing that Dwight told me he's bringing close to 300 people. And that I would think his inner circle. Now, he rolls with some guys now. He rolls with MJ and some people of that caliber because MJ's golf club is pretty exclusive. So I would not be surprised to see some high-level sports figures, celebrity types here celebrating Dwight. And Rich, you're here every year. You know that, like, the magnitude of some of the people who just come back to be a part of this is next level. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of high-level folks here.
Steve Weich here, my colleague from the NFL Network, NFL Media Group. We're going to be hanging out for the coverage of Induction Saturday all day on NFL Network. Joining me here currently on the Rich Eisen Show. What did Richard Dent say about this moment for Steve McMichael? Let us in on all of that.
Oh, man. Well, first off, when we notified Steve McMichael that he was going into the hall, it was Richard Dent who made the call, and Steve's wife, Misty, will be at the Gold Jacket ceremony and will be representing him. She took the call, was holding the phone up to Steve, and he started crying, actually. As you know, Steve McMichael is very debilitated with ALS. It was an incredibly moving moment. So Richard was reliving that, but he was also letting people know that this was a guy, when they played on that great Bears defense, the great 85 Bears defense and those other great defenses, it was not designed for defensive tackles to make plays. And here's a guy who's got 95 sacks playing with Richard Dent and Dan Hampton in the fridge on that D-line. And so how great of a player he was, how strong he was, and he was a huge character. Remember, Steve McMichael went on to be a WWE wrestler. But he was always somebody also who was, like, deeply religious. And, like, him and Singletary would actually get into these heavy conversations about the Bible in team meetings. So, you know, Richard was telling some stories, and he said they've got a big surprise planned for Steve McMichael. I don't know what that is because Steve cannot be here and will not be here, but they've got something on their sleeve, which they say is going to be very memorable and quite historic for his enshrinement. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Well, again, I know I'm asking questions you may not know the answer to, and usually I only ask questions I know that my guest knows the answer to, or maybe I do, but any prime sightings? Because I know Devin Hester is like a son to him.
I have not seen Deion here. We know he's getting ready for his camp at the University of Colorado, but a lot of times his coaches who coach, you know, they'll take time away. So I wouldn't be surprised because, you know, Rich, you know that relationship. It goes back to when, like, Devin was in high school. They are very intertwined. I mean, Devin's got, like, five jerseys hanging on this massive wall in his house, and one of them is Deion Sanders. So that'd be great. We know Deion is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I haven't seen him. That doesn't mean he's not here or won't be here because some people come in for that enshrinement Saturday. So, again, that's someone I wouldn't be surprised to see. You know, one thing, Rich, when we talk about something like that, the Houston Texans, who played in the Hall of Fame game Thursday night, they're keeping their entire organization here. They brought up not just the players and coaches, but people from the building to celebrate Andre Johnson, who's the first Houston Texan to go into the Hall. So you talk about Deion being here maybe for Devin Hester. The entire Houston Texans organization and, you know, current players and past players are going to be here occupying a huge chunk of Tom Benson Stadium to honor Andre Johnson.
Yeah, and I look forward to his speech too, Steve, because some of the best speeches in the 20 years that I've been here are from guys who hardly said five words when they were playing, right? Like Isaac Bruce is a perfect example of that. Like, he hardly ever spoke. Andre Reed's another guy, right? I mean, who didn't really speak. And now here comes Andre Johnson, who, you know, I'm keen to hear what he's got to say. Julius Peppers, another guy kind of like that in this class.
On that note, this is a group of guys who are like that. We know Dwight Freeney's very polished, but if you think of Patrick Willis, he doesn't say hardly anything. He is a very, very quiet man. And again, he's so smart. He's involved in the you know, the IT world, the Silicon Valley world, from, you know, he's a guy from small town Tennessee who grew up in incredible circumstances. I mean, his story is amazing. And I'm really looking forward, because I'm with you, Rich. Some of the best speeches we've heard have been guys we did not expect to knock our socks off. But this is their opportunity to finally let it all out.
Steve White, 2 minutes left with my colleague from the NFL Media Group. In advance of tomorrow's coverage, we'll be hanging out together on NFL Network for the induction Saturday here on the Friday of Hall of Fame weekend. So what happened last night? Doppler radar just took things over. Is that what happened last night, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, Mother Nature, too much lightning. I mean, that was the thing. The rain came in, but the lightning, we saw it in person, but just on the radar, it was going to be around for 3 or 4 hours. Both coaches, they already got in almost 4 quarters of football. Both coaches are like, it's good. We've got 3 more preseason games to get through. Let's protect everybody, especially people in the stands. So they called it. And Rich, it was actually, for the first half, one of the more entertaining Hall of Fame games that we've seen in years. I mean, the offense is moving up and down the field. That was pretty good. But the coaches were kind of like, we've done enough. Let's make it safe for everybody. And that was that. And the Bears are 1-0 in the preseason.
And both teams have a lot of hype around them. You know, Houston as a team that can actually dethrone the Chiefs in the conference. And the Bears, we all know they're about to get their Hard Knocks star turn. What did you glean from both of the teams being around them at all?
Well, the Hard Knocks crews were there, very much. The Hard Knocks crews were there, so we'll see some of this on Hard Knocks. But, I mean, a couple things you gleaned. You know, I've been to the Texans training camp, and Rich, they're so deep. You know, you add a Stephon Diggs to Nico Collins and Tank Dell and some of the guys there. You trade for Joe Mixon. Their offensive line already is very good. Their defense is 2 layers deep. They are 2 layers deep at every level. It is insane, the talent. So you see them, the way D'Amico Ryans was pushing them. When I'd been there, they'd been in pads for 3 or 4 consecutive days. But they all have the buy-in. So there's that part. And then when it comes to the Bears, I mean, and it's a true storyline, a true narrative we've all talked about. Caleb Williams is walking into a roster that Ryan Poles, he's given him Keenan Allen. He's given him DJ Moore. They've got running backs. You know, they go on and get DeAndre Swift to add to some players like Rashawn Johnson, who we saw last night, looked very good. There's some pieces on that defense. Remember, the Bears finished with the top run defense in the NFL last year. So we'll see how Caleb Williams adjusts. We'll see how his new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, adjusts. That's one thing that's got to come together. But they have some expectations. And Ryan Poles said they're not running from any of it, okay? Not from the quarterback. Because I asked him, I said, you guys are playing the Texans. Caleb is going to be compared to what C.J. Stroud did as a rookie. Ryan Poles is like, fine. You can set the bar whatever you want to be at, and Caleb Williams is going to run his own race. But standards, bars, whatever you want to call them, that's what they are going to buy into and try and exceed. And we'll see, because they're playing in a very tough division. But the Detroit, the Green Bay Packers are going to be good. The Vikings, you know, we don't know what they're going to be with their quarterback situation. But I like the fact that both of these teams aren't running from expectation, and they're embracing it heading into 2024.
Before I let you go, you hearing anything about Justin Herbert at all and the injury that's got him in a walking boot for 2 weeks?
Yeah, nothing more than the reports. I mean, but in speaking to people last night before the game, they're like, hey, that's not an injury really to be toyed with. You know, it's a plantar fascia. It's on your foot. That's your weight-bearing item. He's a big guy. So they really have to be careful on what they do in terms of rushing him back so he can get through all 17. Because we know Jim Harbaugh, your guy, he's going to get the Chargers right. I went out to their training camp. Just the whole organization that they have in terms of how they operate practice, the way that they're functioning now is different. So he's the key cog. They don't have what you would consider upper echelon skill at most of the skill positions on offense. So he's going to be asked to get a lot of things done. So, again, they're just going to have to temper and be very moderate on how they get him back. I think it's better to have him back, even if he has to come back 2 or 3 games in, to get him through the season rather than rush him back to start.
So how many training camps have you already visited so far, Steve?
Yeah, I'm about 6 or 7 in. Like okay. I said, the Texans are staying up here in Ohio because they play the Steelers in their preseason opener. So I'll be back with them Monday, fly out to the 49ers Tuesday, and wrap things up with the Raiders Wednesday. But I will tell you this, the one I've been at that I really enjoyed was the Ravens. John Harbaugh put him through almost 3 hours worth of on-field work. And they like the Texans. You look at their roster and you're like, you know, they're going to be right there again. They're loaded. We know their coaching staff, their expectation, their standard is what it is. So, again, you know, Rich, being able to go out and see these teams in a training camp and be able to compare one to the other, just on how the organizations run things, is a great thing about this job. And seeing a team like the Ravens or the Texans or the Lions, where they've come from, gets you real insight on how things could shake out through the season if these teams stay healthy.
So let me ask you finally, before I let you go for the rest of your Friday here, I've asked this of all of our colleagues that have been kind enough to answer the call to come on this program. Which team do you feel draft, offseason, free agency, now in training camp, seeing them or not, or hearing about what you're hearing about, has fixed whatever 2023 caused them to trip up in? And that might even include the Chiefs offensively too. Like, which team do you think has improved itself for 2024 the most?
Wow. I mean, I've got to go back to a couple of teams I've seen. I mean, the Houston Texans, I mean, going out and getting a Stephon Diggs, adding a Danielle Hunter to that pass rush, and a player no one really talks about, Azeez Al-Shaair, a linebacker mm-hmm. who played for D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco, was fantastic, a tackling machine with the Titans. He is now with a very, very good linebacking crew in Houston. They understood what they had to do. They added some veteran players who won. That's key, because a lot of teams in free agency had veteran players who are talented and come from teams who haven't won. Texans added guys who've won before and maybe can help some of these young players understand what it takes to break through. You know, they're a team. And then looking at, you know, the Detroit Lions too, going out and getting DJ Reader, defensive tackle, to play with next to Liam McNeil, to fortify their defense a little bit, getting Kevin Zeitler to go in and play guard on their offensive line where they lost Jonah Jackson. And then they just took care of their own. I mean, good grief, the contracts they're paying some of their offensive players and the buy-in that they have with Dan Campbell. Again, those are two good teams that we saw last year who I think addressed some areas that could maybe push them to get back to the conference championship or into the conference championship, maybe make a run at Super Bowls.
Steve, I'll see you tonight, and we'll hang out tomorrow. Looking forward to it, as always.
Looking forward to it, Rich.
All right, thanks again. That's Steve Weich, the one and only from NFL Network, NFL Media Group, and you can check the two of us out together, hanging out on Saturday for induction weekend. Maybe Jordan and Deion. Could you imagine Michael Jordan and Deion sitting next to each other for the Hall of Fame?
I can imagine it. I would love to see it.
I mean, Jordan's definitely got to be there, right? The tournament.
4 days a week they play.
The tournament got to go hang out with Michael Jordan. I told you guys the story about Freeney was there with him. They're really tight, so I would imagine there's going to be a couple extra goat sightings in the crowd.
White's got
tonight.
300 people. Where 300? Where was my invite? We were in the same graduating class at Syracuse.
They were.
He dunked on my friend in a pickup game. Like, come on, Dwight.
Yeah, come on, Dwight. What's up with that?
We saw him at the Kelce party this year, TJ. I mean, come on.
Chopped it up with him a little bit.
Was Chris Redden, what's up with that?
I don't.
He's in hour number two on our program. Your phone call is 844-204-RICH, number to dial for sure. I got a few stories to tell you, spinning some yarns about the Hall of Fame, if you don't mind. That's still to come right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show on a Canton Friday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
I also love the story that you've told, and if you wouldn't mind telling the audience here as well, at the combine, when you would be pulled into rooms and you didn't know which room you were being pulled into by which.
Yeah. I was, you know, it had come back in that day, everybody was reaching for it. Agents was in the hotel. Yeah. Everybody was everybody.
It was all scheduled.
It
now
was scheduled, structured. You can't be in a hotel. You can't be on the premises. Then it was everything was wild. So I'm backing away from crowds and people trying to grab me. And I backed into this room and the Giants was there. And it was the Giants room. And they had people sitting down taking these tests. What do they call these things?
Oh, yeah, like the psychology test, right?
I mean, the thing was that thick, man. And I sat down, and they gave me this thing. And what is this? They say, it's this test, and, you know, we need you to take it. I said, oh, what picker do you have? It's like the 10th. I said, oh, I'd be gone for then. I got to be walked out. I'd be gone. I'd be way gone for then.
And then let's just get into it here. I mean, Belichick said he watched you run the 40 at the combine. And that you ran it and then ran into the tunnel. And is it true?
That's not true.
Okay. You did not run into a waiting car and being taken to the airport right then and there.
No, because I had more interviews and all of that. No. That story just grows and
grows. It does. It's like a fish story.
It is. That's not true. I did everything that I was asked to do. Now, I didn't lift. I ain't do none of that because Jerry Rice to this day hadn't laid across my arms and had me bench pressing. You know, I don't know where that comes from.
I love that you say that when you're watching the defensive backs
put up the
weight and reps of 225.
Why?
And they're struggling to get a fifth one up.
Have you ever said, man, well, if that guy would have got one more rep, he'd have been there on that play? Never. Or the three cone drill. Like, no, this has nothing to do with nothing. So I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
The one and only Deion Sanders, all of his appearances on our YouTube channel. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, take the guesswork out of buying baseball tickets right now with Game Time, which is an official ticket marketplace. You get baseball tickets fast and easy, and the prices on the Game Time app actually goes down the closer it gets to the first pitch. You can basically find out what your seat how much it costs completely. The feature of all-in pricing shows you the total upfront with no surprise fees at checkout. That's one way to remove the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Same thing with seat views. You get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy, and the lowest price guarantee is there because Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. That's their lowest price guarantee. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code Rich. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Gents, I used the commercial break for good and not evil. I have found out, I've been so informed that one primetime will be in Canton tonight.
Yes. That's awesome.
That's what I have been so informed that primetime will be here to watch the Jacket dinner, I believe, and then back to Colorado, but cannot confirm completely. I just did.
No, so, there you have it. Number 23.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
up.
What about Mike? You gotta contact.
I don't know. I don't. You know. I'm still working. I'm still
there. I'll text him real quick. Hold up.
All right.
I know exactly what Steve Weish was talking about. Being in that downtown hotel where all the Hall of Famers are staying in, and because I think Chris, it was the year that we did the podcast from here. Again, the podcast that birthed our soon to be 10-year-old. Program on which we're all talking right now.
Yep.
And I remember it was the year that Shannon Sharp went in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because that Jacket dinner moment, again, the Jacket dinner, for those who don't know, that it goes down tonight. And it is the first tangible item a Pro Football Hall of Famer receives that makes them realize this is happening. Yep. You know, the other tangible items are a Hall of Fame ring and a Hall of Fame bust. The jacket, though, is the first one that they get. And that's tonight. And back in the day, they used to have their presenter get up on the stage and be the one to put the jacket on them. And so the year Shannon went in, Sterling was his presenter, and Sterling put the jacket on him. And the two of them embraced.
Oh, big time.
In the middle of the arena and hugged it out and cried, like bawling. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Yeah,
that's 2011.
And I remember that was the front page of the local newspaper, the Canton Repository here. Yep. It was a huge photograph that took up like two-thirds of the page of the two of them crying and hugging it out. And we were talking about that all night long. And it was still in the mind's eye of everybody as we were getting set for induction Saturday, prior to which we recorded some interviews for the podcast. And because it was a nighttime event. And I'll never forget walking into the lobby of the hotel where all the Hall of Famers were in. And both Sharp brothers were there, Sterling and Shannon. And they were getting an absolute earful from Deacon Jones in the lobby. And Deacon was holding up the newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Where the two of them were crying. And he was giving them relentless amounts of unrepeatable grief for crying. And the two of them stood there and took it. They had to take it because it was Deacon Jones giving them grief for crying. It's no crying. What are you doing this for? You're bawling like a bunch of effing babies. And I was so happy to have witnessed that. It was laugh out loud funny. And they both Sharp brothers had like smiles on their faces as Deacon was lighting them up.
So funny.
And it was funny because the previous 24 hours, it was warm, fuzzy, is it dusty in here type stuff. And Deacon's like, what are you doing?
Then you have the year that the bartender was overwhelmed at the hotel bar and Jim Kelly started over-serving everyone.
That's correct. The hotel bar had every single Hall of Famer there guests.
Oh, it was incredible.
And there were gold jackets everywhere, like literally deep, 3-4 deep in the bar.
Yep.
And the poor staff was just thoroughly overwhelmed. So Jim Kelly was sick and tired of waiting for his drink. He hopped behind the bar and started serving everybody.
And just started going
himself first.
Himself first.
And that's how we got our drink.
That's how we
got our drink.
It was unbelievable.
I love it. And by the way, Hall of Famers have a green room right off of the stage where there's all sorts of libations for them. And that was Jim Kelly's idea. And by the way, the fact that there's the Hall of Fame ceremony is in the stadium and not on the front lawn anymore is because of Jim Kelly, because he had too many guests one year. They had to move it to the stadium. So Jim's fingerprints are all over this thing in Canton. That's a fact. These are all true stories.
All facts.
Because Jim, you could draw a line from Buffalo, where obviously he played his professional football, Pittsburgh, where he's from. You could draw a line
there's a big triangle, just like
right from Pittsburgh, from Buffalo to down. Pittsburgh to Canton. Like you could draw a line. And it was just that huge, I don't know if everybody walked, but they all showed up.
Yeah.
And I-77 is, the old ceremony used to be on the front lawn in front of on the steps of the Hall of Fame. And I-77 is, is the backstop of the lawn area. So you really can't go any further than I-77. And so when Jim Kelly had all those people there, they're like, we got to move this thing to the stadium.
Yeah.
So that's how the light bulb went over on everybody's head that we've got to move this thing to a larger spot.
Yeah, it's genius.
Thanks to Jim Kelly. Oh, yeah, man. I remember first year I was here is 2003, summer of 2003. And everybody's walking up to me saying, You're not on SportsCenter anymore? And what is NFL Network all about? Because we hadn't launched yet.
Oh, see, that 03 class was Marcus Allen, James Lofton, Elvin Bethea, Hank Stram, and Joe DeLuca.
Yeah, and when Hank Stram wasn't, it was difficult for him to speak, but yeah. He was there for the jacket dinner, and watching him and his family hug and cry it out too was really something I'll never forget.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson, what is it that you think that people gravitate
towards? I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.